We're continuing in sugyas of Masechta Shkalim. It happens to be Shkalim has picked up a little bit. We got some more interesting sugyos that we could sink our teeth into. But one really struck me as we were learning it on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara had said, and this is not including the Mar Makomos because this shir was made really as a totally separate packet, independent of Masechta Shkalim. But the Gemara had said as follows on Tes Vav Amud Aleph that Rabbi Chama Bar Chanin of Rab Hoshia Rabba, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanin of Rab Hoshia Hagadol, Havu Metailin Bi Ilun Knishta de Lud, were walking around the shuls in the city of Lud. I guess they were walking down the stretch of road where all the shuls were. Amr Rabbi Chama Bar Chanin of Rab Hoshia. So Rabbi Chama Bar Chanin said to Rabbi Hoshia, Kama Mamon Shiku Avosaikan. Look how much money my family put into these shuls. My father and grandfather and great grandfather, they put in all this money, and that's why we have all of these beautiful shuls, because they spent all this money on these shuls. So Amr Leis, Rabbi Hoshaya said to Rabbi Chama, Kama Nefashos Shiku Avosecha Kan. How many souls did your forefathers lose over here? By Lo Havi Ispinei Nashti Olam Baraisa, was it not good in their eyes to give money to people who were learning Torah and who needed the support? Instead, they put all the money into their shuls. So right away, when I saw that story, it struck me as like, you know, you would think that he would get a compliment. He's doing such a nice thing. He supported these shuls, these institutions that far outlast any individual and are the centers for our Batas HaTorah and for you know, the way we think of a shul, and it's a center for all chesed and everything else. And he criticizes him that they shouldn't have put all this money into the shuls. It's a waste of money. They should have supported Talmidei Chachamim instead of putting all this money into the shuls. So right away, what struck me was that idea that he would be criticized for giving money to shuls, but also it seemed against the halacha. The halacha in Yardeis in Resh Mem Tes Sif Tes Zayin, which is in the Mar Makomos here somewhere. Oh no, maybe it's not. The halacha is, I think it is somewhere. I just don't know where. But the halacha is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in terms of it's the last Mar Makom. Source number 15. Yesh Misha Omer. There's those who say Shemitzvahs Beis Hakneses Adifa Mi Mitzvahs Tzedakah. That the mitzvah of building a shul, of giving money to build a shul, is better than the mitzvah of tzedakah. Umitzvah tzedakah l'na'arim l'matorah olecholim aniyim adiv mitzvah beis haknesses. So regular tzedakah is a rung below giving money to shuls. The only thing that's more valuable than giving money to shuls is for young people to learn Torah l'na'arim l'matorah, young people, not old, to learn Torah, and for cholim aniyim, and for sick people who are poor. So that's adif mi mitzvahs beis haknesses. That takes priority over mitzvahs beis haknesses. So that makes the criticism about the shuls a little more striking, a little more surprising. Why would you criticize someone giving money to shuls? It's not like he went to the lowest rung of tzedakah. He gave a pretty high level of tzedakah. That beats out regular tzedakah, giving money to shuls. And not only that, he did a mitzvah. Even if he did do the lowest rung of tzedakah, he was doing a mitzvah. Why would he get such criticism? So that right away struck me. But also, in addition to that, the Gemara had also said in Masechta Shkalim, and had told stories about giving tzedakah to aniyim and how different aniyim reacted, and it told the stories that relate to the concept of de'machzora she'yachzola, that you're supposed to give an ani whatever he needs, whatever he feels, whatever he's lacking. And if he's used to a very high standard of living, then you give him tzedakah to bring him back up to that high standard of living. So the Gemara told the story on Tazvav Amalaf and Shkalim that Nechemya Ishich and Pagaba Yerushalmi Yachad, there was a poor Yerushalmi Jew that met this Nechemya Ish Shichin. So Amalei, the Ani, said to Nechemya, Zacheimi, give me some tzedakah, chad tarnagolasa, so that I can have a beautiful, a delicious tarnagol to eat. So tarnagolim were very expensive, and it was considered a very fancy kind of meat. So Amalei, so Nechemya said, Halach tomisei dekupad. He says, take a coin and go buy yourself some basar behema. Why do you need the fanciest kind of meat? Buy yourself regular meat. You know, go get a hamburger. What do you need? What do you need to have the nicest, fanciest kind of meat? V'zavin kupad. The guy listened. He took the money and he went and bought himself a hamburger. V'achlumis, and he ate it and he died because his stomach was so used to higher levels of food, to more refined food, his stomach couldn't handle it and he dropped dead. So v'yitzoveach v'amar bo v'siptu l'arugo shel Nechemya. And Nechemya walked around saying, we should give a hesped for the one that Nechemya killed. He referred to himself as a murderer for having killed this guy, for not giving him de machzora sheyachsalo. So I wanted to talk about some of these issues, meaning That is apparently tzedakah, to give somebody whatever he feels he's lacking, whatever he feels he needs. So how high of a priority is that in tzedakah? Meaning, there's always plenty, however much money we have, there's more needs than there are than there is money. So we're always going to have to, we could hear a story that will tear at our heartstrings, and we're going to want to give everything to that. But then something else comes up, and we have a responsibility to that. How do we decide where tzedakah should go? What percentage or what to prioritize in terms of giving of tzedakah? So the truth is, to a certain extent, the halacha doesn't demand that you give X amount to this and X amount to that. It's somewhat discretionary, but the halacha sort of provides a framework and a guide by building this hierarchy without strict numbers and without saying that you must do this and you must give your money to a certain place. But the halacha sort of gears our mind in the right direction. It's sort of, when you learn through these simanim and Shulchan Aruch, it just tells you what the Torah values as a higher priority and what the Torah views as a lower priority. There's a beautiful Gra. Gra says, "Lo sikva tzas yadcha," don't close your hand. When the hand is closed, all the fingers look like they're the same size. You can't tell the difference between the size of the fingers when the hand is closed. But when you open it up, you see that it's not so. You see that some of the fingers are larger than others. So he says we can learn from these halachos what comes before what, and everything seems to fit very neatly. But when we get into the details, not everything works out the way it should. Meaning, when you're kofetz as yadcha, when you're not giving out, so it looks like you just learned the halachos, and yeah, it looks like everything fits beautifully into place, and everything's just perfect. But then you open up your hand, and you start to give, and you realize that the realities of life don't always fit so neatly, that sometimes some of a little more is going to have to be given in one direction than you otherwise would have expected. It doesn't always work out exactly the way we would have planned, but again, we're just trying to develop this framework to gear us in the right direction. So also, the Torah writes that a gabbai tzedakah, one of the qualifications that a gabbai tzedakah has to have, is we need gabbai tzedakah who are chachamim, nevonim, and ne'emanim. So let's take each of those qualifications. Ne'emanim, that is, goes without saying. Gabbai tzedakah has to be ne'eman, he has to be trustworthy, has to be someone that you don't think is taking anything for himself. Of course, and we had a lot of that in Shkalim also. The Kohen who would be Torim from the Shekel, from the Shkalim, for the Karbonos HaTzibur, when he would go into the Lishcha to take the Shkalim, he couldn't have any hems in his clothing, any pockets in his clothing. He had to be talking the whole time, so he couldn't have possibly been hiding any money in his mouth. He has to be beyond reproach. No one should ever suspect a Gabbai Tzedakah of any wrongdoing. Ne'emanim, absolutely, he needs to be Ne'emanim. Chachamim, that makes sense also. He has to be wise to the world. He has to know what's a real need and what's not. He has to know the halacha. He has to know what the halachos of tzedakah are if he's going to be a gabbai tzedakah. What's nevonim? Why does he have to be nevonim? They have to be understanding. They have to have a depth of understanding of emotion. So apparently, part of being a gabbai tzedakah is not just being honest and not just knowing the halacha, but it requires a certain amount of judgment. It requires a certain amount of sensitivity and judgment. That's nevonim. That's that third quality that a gabbai tzedakah requires. So as much as we're learning the halachos don't really cover everything. They cover a lot, but not really everything. A certain healthy dose of common sense and sensitivity is going to be necessary also if a person is going to want to give tzedakah properly. So we'll start with the Rambam. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos, in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, HaKol Lefi Rov HaMa'aseh, that everything goes with Rov HaMa'aseh, how much of a Maisa you do, so, or how many Maisim you do. So says the Rambam in source number one, that Achar Kach Omar, Sha'amailos Lo'yusku Lefi Shir Godel HaMa'aseh, El Lefi Rov Mispar HaMa'aseh. The Rambam is Medayik. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says everything is based on Rov HaMa'aseh. It does not say everything is based on Godel HaMa'aseh, how great the action is, how impactful the action is. It says everything based on how much the action is. Vizeh, and this means to say, Shamailos Amnon Yusku B'Kipul Ma'aseh HaTov Pa'amim Rabos U'Bazeh Yusak HaKinyin. It's when a person does good deeds over and over again, he gets in the habit of doing good things constantly, of constantly trying to do more and more good things, so then he's able to be kodesh something, he's able to really develop positive character traits. Lo b'sheyasa ad ha'maisa echad gadol mi maisa atov. And that is much more impactful on the person, on the individual, than doing one really great thing. You could do 100 small mitzvahs or do one really big mitzvah. Says the Rambam, what will really change you is the 100 small mitzvahs. You do that one big mitzvah, you'll feel good for a minute, but the most of your day is still going to be the same as it always was. You do 100 small mitzvahs, and then you become a doer. You become a person who does mitzvahs. That becomes part of who you are. Shebezel levado lo yusak kinyan. By doing a deed, a single action, that doesn't become a part of you. Mashal zeh. He says, I'll give you a mashal. If let's say a person has 1,000 dinar to give to tzedakah, so he gives all 1,000 at one time to one person, he's not going to become a generous person from doing that act. It was a generous act, for sure, but he's not going to fundamentally change into a generous person by doing that act. Nearly as much as a person who gives a dinar each to 1,000 different people. Even though that dinar, what's the person going to do with that dinar already? Could buy a coffee? What's he going to do already with it? It's not going to make such an impact on his life. Because each time it's another act of generosity. And the more acts of generosity a person does, the more generous he becomes. The actions influence influence the heart, influences the personality. And it becomes much stronger for the person. The guy that wrote the $1,000 check had one moment of inspiration where he wanted to do something good. And then it was over, and that was it. So he says that's the way tzedakah is going to work. The halacha is that a person should give tzedakah 100 times. Better to focus on doing more than making a big impact in a single place. This is Rav Yosef Engel makes a big deal out of this Rambam. Rav Yosef Engel in Lekach Tov, we've discussed many times in Klal Tesvav, has a whole discussion about quantity versus quality in mitzvahs. That is, it better to do one big mitzvah or a couple of smaller mitzvahs? Or let's say by an avera. Let's say I have a choice. I could do one. I have to do an avera because I'm stuck. I'm in a terrible position. Got to do an avera. Is it better to do one big avera or better to do a bunch of small averas? So Rav Yosef Engel has a whole long essay on this in Lekach Tov, and he brings like 30 rayas, and half of them say quantity is more important, half of them say quality is more important, and obviously the answer is it depends on what mitzvah we're talking about, what avera we're talking about, it depends how high a quantity the quantity is, how high a quality the quality is. But it's a fascinating read because sometimes you get the impression of Yosef Engel is just sort of like flexing his muscles, like showing, yeah, I do know everything. Watch this. And he just shows you 30 different places in all of Shas and in Nigla and Nister and everything to touch on this topic. He starts out with the Ran Maseches Yuma. The Ran Maseches Yuma talks about someone who's a Choli Mesukan on Shabbos, someone who's deathly ill on Shabbos, and the doctor prescribes meat. He needs to have meat. The problem is he has meat in his fridge, but it's nevela and trefa. It's non-kosher meat. He also has in his backyard a cow. So he has a cow in his backyard, and he's got a live cow that's mooing and everything. And he's got a nevela and trefa in his fridge. So what should he do? Should he eat the nevela and trefa? It's Shabbos. Should he eat the nevela and trefa? Or should he shecht the cow and then he'll have kosher meat? So the Ran says, well, on the one hand, he'll say, of course he should eat the nevela and trefa. Nevela and trefa is a los assay. It's a regular lav. Yeah, malchus, whatever. It's a regular lav. Not to minimize a lav, but it's a regular lav. Shechting cow and Shabbos, chiv skila. That's a horrible avera. That's being mechal Shabbos. So he says, he quotes from the Ran, quotes from the Ravid, yeah, but what if you have to eat 10 kezesim of nevela, of meat? That's what the doctor prescribes. You have to have 10 kezesim. You can't just eat one kezesim. So then if he eats the nevela, he's done 10 isurim. Yeah, it's only a lav, but it's 10 of them. Whereas if he shechts the cow, he did one chiv skila. So the Ran says, b'shem the Ravid, in that case, better to shecht the cow than to eat the nevela. So you see quantity versus quality. So Rav Yosef Engel, he starts out his piece by saying, I was learning this Ran in Yuma, and it got me thinking, where else do we have quantity and quality? And then, and one of the fifth or sixth example he gives is this Rambam in Pirkei Avos, this comment of the Rambam about giving tzedakah. You see, the Rambam values quantity over quality in this instance, much like the Ran does in that case. Now, The Rambam may not be the best raya for all of Torah, that quantity beats quality, because the Rambam is very clear what he's talking about. The Rambam is not so concerned when he's talking about giving tzedakah about the ani. The Rambam's concerned about the giver. The Rambam views the mitzvah of tzedakah, at least in this passage, as not being about the person that you're giving to. That person, you'll take care of him, or Hashem will take care of him some other way. Don't worry about that guy. That guy will be fine. The real purpose of tzedakah is to make the giver a better person. So the Rambam says, if that's the goal, if that's what we're trying to accomplish with tzedakah, well, then it's much better to give 100 times, to give $1. What's he going to do with the dollar? Don't worry. What's he going to do with the $1,000? Hashem will figure it out. Whatever he deserves, that's what he's going to get. So Hashem's going to figure out what he gets. You're not making any sort of impact in terms of that. But what you're impacting is yourself. The whole mitzvah of tzedakah is to become a better person. So if that's the case, if that's the way we view the mitzvah of tzedakah, certainly conquering a yetzer hara 100 times is better than conquering yetzer hara just once. Someone told me that it's one of the hardest things. If a child is not taught to give at a young age, it's nearly impossible to learn in adulthood. If someone has been taught their whole lives that you just grab onto whatever you can, you keep whatever you can, it's a very hard midah to learn in adulthood. I have a lot of talmidim when they first get married. They ask me, should they be giving tzedakah? Should they be giving ma'aser k'safim? So what's the shaila? Why not? So they're being supported by their parents. They can't. They don't have any of their own money. They're in medical school or law school or whatever, or smicha, whatever they're doing. If they're in smicha, they'll be taking for a longer time. Whatever. Well, medical school for the longest time, actually. But whatever they're doing, and they don't have any of their own money. So is it appropriate for them to give tzedakah? So lahalacha, it's absolutely inappropriate. Lahalacha, if you're getting money from somebody else, and you're going to decide that you're going to give meiser. Your parents are, they're stretching themselves thin to support the young couple, and they're going to give ma'aser lahalacha. That's totally inappropriate. They're aniyim. They have no right to give ma'aser. They have no right to go on Hawaiian vacations either. But they have no right to give ma'aser. But I always tell them, you should have a talk with your parents about that. You want to write a check at least once a week. You want to write a check for a few dollars to somebody, because you need to stay in the habit of giving. And usually I haven't had an experience where someone called me back and said, my parents thought that was just awful for you to say that I should write a check. But no one has said that. Everyone has come back with, yeah, that's, they raised us right. That's we want to continue to be in the habit of giving. Someone told me, my parents just had a Swedish wine rub at their house for a Shabbos. They were hosting him for, he was there for family simcha. And he told them that he was in Russia, I don't know how many years ago this was, and there was a shul that was functioning and everything, but he noticed something was missing, and he just couldn't place what was missing, what was not there in the shul. And then at the end of Shabbos, it hit him, the tzedakah box. There was no tzedakah box anywhere in the end of the week. I guess Shabbos, it shouldn't surprise him that tzedakah box is missing. But then he realized there was no tzedakah box in the shul, and they told him that the communists allowed this shul to exist so long as there's no tzedakah box. Because they knew that was the neshama of the Jew. But that was the if you take away the Rachman Vashanim Vegomli Chasadim, you take away that essential character of the Jew to want to give, that's something that they're never gonna be there for each other. They're never gonna learn that later on. If we're able to take it away if they're able to take that away from us. And it's true. So I was just talking to someone who's very close with a Russian Jew, and the Rachmana Litzlan, people who grew up behind the Iron Curtain, everything was taken away from them, but one of the things that were taken away from them was this idea of giving, this idea of giving tzedakah. And they can't, there's just no talking to them. Now they have, in Baruch Hashem, they don't live in Russia anymore. There's just no talking to them about this. They just don't get it, the idea of needing to give. So very critical. The Rambam says we have to conquer the Yetzer Hara, become a giver. Where does the Rambam get this idea from, though, that tzedakah is not about the recipient? I would think for sure tzedakah, if there's one mitzvah that's about the recipient, I would think it would be the mitzvah of tzedakah, that you're trying to make as big an impact as you can on the person that you're giving to. So the Rambam might mean that it's for you, that the focus is totally on you, and it's better for you to conquer Yetzer Hara 100 times. Or he might mean that something else. He might mean that it's better for the world to have money more evenly distributed. Meaning from a world perspective, yeah, I can make a big impact on one person's life, or I can make a very tiny impact on a lot of people's lives. what's better klapei the world from a worldview. So it could be the Rambam saying that it's better for the world to have tzedakah more evenly distributed amongst a lot of people. It doesn't sound like that's what the Rambam's saying, but that could certainly be a benefit of giving the $1,000 separately, a dollar at a time, over giving $1,000 in one place. The Gemara in Maseches Erevin and Daf Samach Gimel says that that if a person gives all of his trumos to one kohen, so he's marid es ha'olam. He causes the world to starve. What does it mean? He's marid es ha'olam. He causes the world to starve. It means it's bad for the world. The Shulchan Aruch paskens this way, that if a person gives all of his tzedakah to one person, it's marav es olam, all of his truma to one person, it's marav es olam. Over the course of a lifetime, a person should try to diversify where he gives his money. Now, at a given time, there may be a specific need in a specific place, and then you can give all your tzedakah that month or that year to a certain place, but it shouldn't always be to that one place. Just like we would diversify our investments, we should view it like an investment. We diversify our investments, we should diversify our tzedakah giving. The Bach in Hilchos Purim says the same thing about Matanos Avyonim, that it's better to give Matanos Avyonim a small amount to a lot of people than to give one large amount to a single person. Now, again, this may depend on what the purpose of tzedakah is. Is the purpose of tzedakah to get me to give, or is the purpose of tzedakah to supply the ani? This was a debate that the Gemara in Bava Basra records happened between Rabbi Akiva and Tornus Rufus HaRasha. The Gemara in Bava Basra, in source number 5, says that Vizu She'ela, in the second line, Vizu She'ela Shol Tornus Rufus HaRasha, Rabbi Akiva. The She'ela Tornus Rufus HaRasha asked Rabbi Akiva as follows, Im Elokechem Oev Aniyim Hu, if your God loves poor people, very simple question. Why doesn't he give them money? If Hashem loves poor people so much, why doesn't he provide for them? So Rabbi Kiva said, Hashem keeps the poor so that we can give them money, and that therefore we will benefit from being saved from Gehenim. Meaning, it's not for the poor. Of course, Hashem will give the poor whatever it is that they need, whether it's through us as a shliach or through somebody else as a shliach. But the point of us giving tzedakah is for us. It's not for them. It's for us to become better people. So the debate goes on a little bit more in the Gemara, but you see, therein lies the entire issue over here. Is tzedakah about the giver, or is it about the recipient? That's these two understandings in the Rambam. Nafkamina might be, what if you're a gabbai tzedakah? It's not your money. You have other people's money. Let's say you have I'm a rabbi, so I have a rabbi's discretionary fund. Not much in there, but every once in a while there's some money that comes in when someone says they're putting money in, so give to where you see fit. Not a rabbi's discretionary, a charity fund. The discretionary fund is a different thing. We don't have that. That's the charity fund. My wife is an accountant. She was doing an account for someone. She saw that someone had made a donation to the rabbi's discretionary fund and the gabbai's discretionary fund. And she's like, wow, what kind of shul is that? The gabbai? So she told Alicia right away. So Alicia's been donating to the gabbai's discretionary fund. So the nafkamina might be, so if you're a gabbai tzedakah, you're dealing with other people's money. So if the reason to diversify, the reason you want to give to a lot of different people is because it's better for the world to do that, well then a gabbai tzedakah should do the same. But if the reason you need to give to a lot of different people is to conquer your own Yetzer Hara by getting yourself in the practice of giving, so you overcome the Yetzer Hara, you always want to keep things for yourself, so to give as many times as possible, well, that's not Shaykh for the Gabbai. First of all, it's not his money. And second of all, his own character development shouldn't be with other people's money. You could develop your own character with your own money. You don't develop your own character with other people's money. With other people's money, you do what's best for them. And if the greater mitzvah is to give more money in one place, then do that. So that would be enough kamina over here. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, and Emes Yaakov in Shulchan Aruch, says the Gabbai also has to worry about the perception of the donors to the fund. That if people who donate to a fund think that the Gabbai of the fund is giving all the money in one place, so that could also be an issue. They may not like that very much. They might get the wrong impression. Rabbi Yossi says in Masech HaShabbos, Taf Kuf Yud Ches, Yehechelki Megabai Tzedakah Velomi Mechalkei Tzedakah. He says, I want to be amongst the The Gabay Tzedakah, not amongst the Mechalke Tzedakah. Why? What does that mean? Gabay Tzedakah are the people that, it's from Lashon Goveh, those who collect the Tzedakah. The Mechalke Tzedakah are those who actually then distribute the Tzedakah. Why would you rather be a Gabay Tzedakah than a Mechalke Tzedakah? I would think it's so much more rewarding to give money than to take money. So you would think being Mechalke Tzedakah is much better. So the Ur Zeruah says that a Mechalke Tzedakah ha-Mechalik mar b'lekrovo v'gozel sharanim. As much as a person tries to be unbiased in the way that he gives, ultimately he's going to give to places that he feels more connected to, and sometimes that's going to cost other aniyim. He's not always going to be as honest as he should be in the way that he distributes, even if he's keeping nothing for himself. But if he has a cousin who's in need, so he's going to give to the cousin instead of giving to another ani who may be in greater need. So, at the end of the day, it's probably best to do a little bit of each, meaning to give a reasonable amount, not all of our money in one place, but also not like a penny at a time. You know, it's probably good to give a reasonably impactful amount somewhere in the middle, a reasonably impactful amount to a number of different places, to the extent that God blesses us that we're able to do such a thing, that we're able to give several different amounts. Now let's discuss who gets tzedakah, who gets to receive tzedakah. So the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, we just discussed in Daf Yomi this week. You give them enough to bring them back to what they were used to having when they were rich. The Gemara in Ksubas Daf Samach Zayin and Beis tells us what an unbelievable extent this goes to in source number 6. Tan Rabbanan Demachsaro Atamatsuva Love the Farnasa. You have to support someone till you fill his needs. Viatamatsuva Love the Ashro. But you don't have to be Ma'asher. You don't have to make him rich. Asher Yechsalo, whatever he feels he's lacking. Afilu sus lirkovalov, even if it's a horse to ride on, which apparently was a luxury, ve'eved larutz lefanav, and a servant to run in front of him, which was certainly a luxury, even that, if that's what the guy feels he's lacking, that's what you got to give him. Amru alav al hilal azakein, they said about hilal azakein, shalakach la'ani ben tovim echad sus lirkovalov, ve'eved larutz lefanav. Hamachas lo matza eved laretz lefanav. Hillel HaZaken knew of a guy who was from a very wealthy family who his luck had soured. He had some investments went bad and the guy was in trouble now. So Hillel made sure to hire to rent a horse for the guy to ride on and to hire an eved to run in front of him. One day the eved didn't show up. V'ratz lefanav shlosh milin. So Hillel HaZaken himself ran in front of him as that Eved shlosh milin. How this guy could let Hillel HaZaken run in front of him as the Eved shlosh milin? Good to kasha, but that's what Hillel HaZaken did. And the Gemara goes on. More and more stories about these people who were given exorbitant extravagances for tzedakah because that's what they were used to. So this is a very difficult thing. It's very hard to stomach. And there's one guy in our shul who always asks me this question. You know, this halacha, you know, some people are bothered by certain halachas about whether it be pikuach nefesh with the name of Yehudi, and it's all, you know, whatever the different halachas are that really, really irk somebody. There's one guy that there's nothing that hurts him as much as this halacha, that I have to give somebody, I don't drive a Mercedes, but I have to pay for him to drive a Mercedes because he's used to driving a Mercedes. So psychologically, there is some truth to the fact that someone who is used to having something is more pained by not having it than someone who is not used to having something. They've done, I just read in a book, I like to read all these like pop psychology books, you know, these Malcolm Gladwell type of books. So I was just reading in one by Chip and Dan Heath, excellent authors. They quoted a study, I don't remember the exact details, but they put 10 people in one room, 10 people in another room. The 10 people in one room, as a gift for participating in the study, they gave them a coffee mug, a free coffee mug, for participating in the study. And the other 10 people, they didn't give a free coffee mug. So the 10 people that they didn't give the coffee mug to, they came in with coffee mugs. They said, "Would you like to buy this? How much would you pay for this?" So they said, "I don't know, $3, I'd pay for it." Then the people that they gave the coffee mug to, they said, "We'd like to buy back the coffee mug from you." And they offered them $3. "No way, I'm not selling you for $5? No. So it was something like $6 or $7. Now the coffee mug that people would only pay $3 for Once they have it, they're not giving it up for less than $6 or $7. So what's the idea? The kunz of the study is that once something is yours, once you feel a connection to it, you feel a bailus on it, losing it is all the more painful. The emotional trauma of losing it is that much more difficult. So demach sarasha yechsalo means something. It means that Chazal recognized that a person who had something, losing it is hurtful to such a person. The Achronim asked a question, but wait a second. There is a rule, HaMevazi Zal Yevazi Yosim Mechomesh, that you're not allowed to spend more than 20% of your money on tzedakah, unless you're fabulously wealthy. Unless you're, if you're a billionaire, so you could spend, Paul Reichman in his heyday was allowed to spend more than 20%. He probably did, he's allowed to spend more than 20%. My father-in-law told me he was once at a wedding. Paul Reichman was there, it's a Chronim of Racha, and someone said, this was years ago when he was at the height of his wealth, someone said, "See that guy? He lost $500 million last week. Looks pretty happy to me. He had another $19.5 billion, so he was okay." So you could spend one when you have $20 billion. So there's nothing wrong with giving $10 billion to tzedakah. That's totally fine. That's mutter. But typically, if you have a normal amount of money, you're not allowed to give more than 20% of your money. So with that limit, how's anybody ever supposed to do Dei Matzara Sheyachsala? I mean, if the requirement is to give every ani, not just to make sure he has his basic sustenance, but to give him whatever he's lacking, well, then everyone's going to have to give more than 20% to give any to start covering those expenses. So the Ramah in Siman Reish Nun, the Ramah writes that Dei Machzoro is not for an individual; it's for a community only. That's an important halakha. That sort of makes it a little bit easier also to handle. Meaning, if you are in charge of some sort of tzedakah fund and you notice that there's extra money in the account, so then you should go and give Dei Machzoro Sheyachzor. If you look in source number 7, Minira Tekol Ze Begabai Tzedakah Rabin Biyachad Avol Ein HaYachid Mechuyev Liten LaAni Dei Machzoro. He says, no individual, if an ani comes to your door, it's not your responsibility to give him Dei Machzoro. You have to give him something. When someone stretches out their hand and asks for tzedakah, unless there's reason to believe that they're being deceitful or dishonest, when someone stretches out their hand and asks for tzedakah, you should give something. But there's no personal requirement to give Dei Machzoro. It's on the community to not stop giving tzedakah and not stop running their tzedakah organizations until every ani has Dei Machzoro Sheyach Solo, which will never happen, obviously. It's just, the Gemara refers to Anius as a Galgal Achozer Biolam. It's like a wheel that turns around the world, that the Gemara says that you should give a lot of tzedakah because one day, you don't know when, you don't know if it's this generation, next generation, someone in your family is going to need also. So it always comes around. So it's never going to, we're never going to solve all the problems, but that's the mitzvah of Dei Machzoro. It's a mitzvah on the gabay tzedakah, it's not a mitzvah on the individual. What should the individual do? So he says, Modiyat Tzara L'Rabim, you should let other people know that someone needs tzedakah, but you don't have to fill all of his needs. The Rama also says that if you can't, So the pasuk also quotes isurim of tzedakah. Lo sikpot tzayadcha, lo samot tzaslavavcha. Don't close your hand. Don't close your heart from giving tzedakah. So how are we to understand that exactly? Lo sikpot tzayadcha, lo samot tzaslavavcha. That is that like a regular lo sase? Is that like eating pork? Eating the veil, eating trefi, eating pig is the same as not giving tzedakah. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvos Lo Sase Reish Lamed Beis, source number 8, VaMitzvah Reish Lamed Beis, the 232nd Lo Sase in the Torah is, Shez Hironu Shalolim Noa Tzedakah, VaHarchava Me'avyonim Me'achenu, Acha Sheneida Chul Shosin Yonam, V'Yicholtenu Lahachzik Behem, that we are not allowed to withhold tzedakah from poor people once we know about their situation and we are capable of helping them. We shouldn't become cruel people, we should be kind and giving people. Now, the Rashba in the next source says, Yesh migdoli rabbeinu tzarfatim, there are some great rabbis sha'amru, that this idea that there's a lo sase to withhold tzedakah, that's only if someone actually asks you. Halani de Alma, Shvu Chalal of Deinu Chayv Lelechas Lefarnes Aniyim B'Madai. That you don't have to go out of your way to be Mefarnes Aniyim. It's not a violation of the Losasei. I have to give a little context over here. This is a Rashba Masech HaShvuas. Masech HaShvuas is all about if a person takes a Shvua or a Neder. My seventh grade son was just telling me yesterday that his Rebbe is a genius. He said, my Rebbe, every Pesach he learns all of the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. Every Rosh Hashanah he learns all of Rosh Hashanah. Every Sukkot he learns all of Maseches Sukkot. Every Yom Kippur he learns all of Yuma. So I said to my son, does he learn all of Shavuos, every Shavuos? And my son said, probably. So I said, we're learning Shavuos. I'm learning with my son, Mishai Shavuos. We're learning Shavuos. Don't you know Shavuos is not about the yontif of Shavuos? You know, we're learning it together. Shavuos is about a Shavuot. It's about taking an oath, taking a swear. So we have to go back to the beginning, I think. It's like, when do we get to the part about the cheesecake? Like, not getting it. But so Shavuos is all about taking oaths. So one of the major sugyas in Masech Shavuos is, what if you take a shvua to go against something that it says in the Torah? So the Gemara is an expression, mushpa v'yomid mehar Sinai. So a person is nishpa not to give tzedakah. So where is that shvua going to be chal, and where is that shvua not going to be chal? So in that context, the Rashba quotes, well, maybe the shvua will be chal in the sense that you don't have to go out and find people, but if someone actually comes to ask you, you do have to give them, because that's a losasei in the Torah. That's already an issur in the Torah if someone asks you. But you see, from the discussion of the Rashba, that the lo sase, the mitzvah of tzedakah is whenever you give. Whenever you give to an ani, whether you find them, they find you, it's a mitzvah of tzedakah. The isser of not giving tzedakah is only when there's a specific situation that comes up where someone asks you for tzedakah. So if someone asks you and you choose not to give them, that's the lo sase. The Gemara, yeah?
What if he's public enemy number one? He's posted all over, this guy's a thief.
So, right. So certainly if he's a thief, then there's no mitzvah to give him.
Adrabah. Put his hand out, please. Jew,
right. No. So certainly, if he's a thief, you're not supposed to give him. The Shulchan Aruch talks about this. Can you give to, or even a Russia, even if he's stam a Russia in general? If you look in source number 10, Siman Reish Nun Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, Mishu Avaryan B'Mezid Alachas Mikol Mitzvos Amurus B'Torah V'Lo Asa Tshuva Einu Chayev LaChiyosa V'Lo LaHalvosa. If someone is an Avaryan B'Mezid on one mitzvah in the Torah, and he doesn't do tshuva, but he doesn't bemaze it, and he keeps on doing that avera over and over again, you don't have to support him, you don't have to lend him any money. But we do give
you have to give him something. You might have made a tshuva 2 minutes before he came to my house. This is a public enemy number one.
So if he's, but certainly if he's a ganav, then you don't give. The Gemara Bava Basra says that we should be thankful to the ganavim, because to the dishonest tzedakah collectors, because if not for them, then every time we don't give tzedakah, we should be going to Gehenna, because we should be violating the laws, I say. But because you have these dishonest people, we can always use the excuse, all these guys, who knows, I don't know what that. So it is helpful for a community to have some sort of system where someone vets the people before they give tzedakah. Many communities, including the Five Towns, Far Rockaway community, have some sort of system where people are vetted somewhat. Again, some different rabbis have different standards of who they're willing to give a letter to. I know one rabbi gives a letter to anybody who comes and asks, and he'll write a letter that this guy is good to give, because if he wasn't poor, why would he be asking for money? So that's his whole vetting process. You say you need? Okay, I'll write you a letter. Now, people who are giving are assuming that there was some sort of...
It's embarrassing enough to come.
Yeah, that there's... Yeah. So, but the people are giving us assuming that there's some sort of vetting process. Okay. Now, the actual parameters of who goes first, that's what the share, I guess, was supposed to be about, even though we're holding at the end already, we haven't gotten to it, is pretty clearly made in Shulchan Aruch, that first of all, your own mishpacha comes first. Relatives come before anybody else. Sefer Chassidim says that if you give others before your needy relatives, then it's a skula to become a pauper yourself. You have to take care of your relatives first. A lot of times people have a desire to want to be seen as very righteous and giving and generous to the outside world, but within their own families aren't so righteous and giving and generous. And it's very important that charity starts at home, and that everything starts at home, all the midos tovos. It's a very good test case for a person's true midos inside their own home. The way they act in their own home is a very, very good test for what their midos really are. Sometimes people put out a show on the outside. That shouldn't be the way we are. It should, all of our good midos should start at home. Now, when you're giving your own, this is obviously only when you're only giving, when you're giving your private funds. If you're a gabay tzedakah, you can't say, oh, well, my family comes first. Because no, you're giving other people's money, then it's not your family that comes first. Now, the order of relatives, Shulchan Aruch goes through, yourself first, if you need it, meaning if you don't have any money, your wife, your children under six, father and mother, grandfather, grandmother, because you have a chiv to honor them, so they come before children who are older already, because you have no chiv to be mechabed your children, even though a lot of people don't realize that in today's day and age. Children over six, then grandchildren, then paternal siblings, then maternal siblings, then relatives based on laws of inheritance, and you go down the list. And women before men. Women before men, not men before women. Why is it women before men? Because it's a greater hit to a woman's dignity to have to go around collecting. For a man to suffer that indignity is not nearly as bad as for a woman to suffer that indignity. So if two tzedakah collectors come, there's a woman, there's a man, so a lot of times you're more comfortable with the man because he starts talking Torah to you and giving you whatever. The woman comes before the man. It's a greater indignity for a woman to come around collecting than it is for a man. Now, some say, there are some poskim, some contemporary poskim that say that if you have an ani who has wealthy relatives, you should give priority to an ani who doesn't have wealthy relatives, because let his relatives support him. Others say you shouldn't get involved in what their family politics are. If they're both aniyim, you have to take care of the ani, and you don't cheshbon who else should be doing it but isn't doing their job. Shulchan Aruch says tzaddikim come before regular people. That we take into account a person's, again, this is very difficult to evaluate. Who do we know what's a tzaddik, what's not a tzaddik? But we take into account a person's personal piety when determining who to give tzedakah to. And even within the world of Talmid Chachamim, and this is part of Aniya Yircha, the idea of Aniya Yircha Kodmin, of somebody that's from your town, Rav Shecht always says, and I always point out, that it means somebody that you feel more connected to. So even when you're giving to Talmid Chachamim, if one Talmid Chacham is a Rebbe, or someone who's Sfarim that you read, or someone that has some sort of connection to that Talmid Chacham would come before another Talmid Chacham that has no Shaykh to you. The same is with giving it to yeshivas. You know, sometimes a person will say, well, Aniya Yircha Kodmin, I have to support a yeshiva. I don't send my kids to the yeshiva. I've never seen the inside of their base madrash. But it's only a mile away from my house. It's so close to me. Well, I learned in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, but that changed my whole life, my experience. Well, that yeshiva would come before a yeshiva that I have no connection to. A yeshiva that's giving to my children now, that's helping my... So that yeshiva I have a very deep connection to. But it's not always geographically based when we determine aniya yircha. It's what impacts us and what impacts our family the most when we determine what's called aniya yircha and what's not aniya yircha. And again, there are a lot more details over here, but I guess you can go through the outline and see what there is. But we're out of time. Thank you.